All right. Welcome to This and That Podcasting Podcast. I'm Alex Bauer here with my best friend Kyle Dobis. This is episode 13, Kyle's lucky number. He wore it most of the time during his baseball hockey career. I mean,
baseball career number.
And today is February 26, 2025. We're going to talk a little bit in the week in review. Definitely going to talk a lot about some USA-Canada games, men's basketball, some baseball. And then we're going to turn it into some entertainment, talking a little bit about the MLB with the spring training starting this week and kind of getting into full-on rolling. And then going into the upcoming week of more basketball to come our way, especially the last like week and a half here to close out. So
yep, and then we got some fantasy focus today with figure today we'll talk about some next year's predicting the superlatives as like your MVPs, offensive rookie of the year, comeback player, biggest bust. We'll talk about that, who we think is going to be in what position or who's going to win that award next year.
Yeah.
Right. And then we got our favorite topic of gambling men, like always.
And I'm pretty sure you've won some more money myself. And I mean, I haven't done that myself lately, but you've been having a lot of good luck. And then yeah, we're gonna wrap it up with some Homeward Bound. I got a little bit of surprise team making its debut on our podcast that I should probably have been talking about in the recent. I'm sure you know a guy named Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald.
I mean, you know, hangs out with a guy named Dennis and a girl named Dee and Charlie Day and Frank.
Gotta get. Great. Now we got to talk about soccer again.
Great. He got the hint. Kyle finally gets the hint. But for now, we'll focus on our pick top five games of the week here. I would think I went 3-5 again this week. Obviously, the number one game of the week in probably anybody's mind should have been the Canada-USA game. 3-2 overtime, Canada winning. I picked Canada win. And then, obviously, Connor McDavid shining bright like a diamond. I mean, he gets the game-winning
bright
goal.
Like a diamond.
I don't understand why there's three guys going on one guy when you got Connor McDavid right in the slot, wide open. Like, that. Why?
Yeah. Adam Fox made a bad judgment call on that when he went in front of the net instead of going around the net, or going in front of the net, but not behind the net, left him wide open. So, yeah, that was a tough loss for USA, and it just was like a reminiscent of 10 years ago when they lost in overtime to Crosby.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
But, yeah, that was – I only went – I want to say probably about 1-for-4, honestly, last week. After looking at all my games, there were some that were, like, kind of close. I wouldn't consider them, like, enough to put them in my top five. USA-Canada was the only one I think I hit on.
Yeah. Well, I think we hit on the Tennessee-Texas A&M game. It was a pretty good back-and-forth game all the way up until probably about minute half out. That's when Tennessee kind of finally pulled away with Zakai Ziegler making a three-point shot, and like pretty much that was the dagger.
That was my maybe on mine.
And like Zakai, he puts up 16 points and 7 assists for the game, so it's not a blowout to where Texas A&M was totally out of the game the whole time. It's just the final score makes you kind of think. And then I think Houston Iowa State belongs there in the top five. It was a pretty good game, same way, 68-59. It gets all the way to about like the last 2 minutes, but that's the thing too, is like once they get that way, and it's just what you've talked about before, is the foul trouble. Is like when both teams once it gets into it gets boring. But I see this game going a totally different way if it was four quarters, so I have to give them kind of a little bit of props, just the way that they were played. And
Yeah, they're still fairly close games. They were like on my fringe whether I would take those or not. I decided just to go 1-for-4 since I gave myself some leeway last week and went 5-0.
I got you. I mean, gotta take the bullet sometimes. My two games that I missed was obviously the Michigan State game. Michigan State winning 75-62. We both were pretty heavy Michigan picks on that game. We thought we would win at home.
Yeah, and they
needed that win at home.
They just didn't show up in the second half. They were winning pretty much all first half. Ended the first half winning, and then they just could not make a shot in the second half. And yeah, they didn't. And that carried over into their next game when they just played Nebraska, and it was ugly. It was the worst game I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah. And then the other miss I had was the Oregon State Virginia game. I actually picked Oregon State to win this, and they do, but it was a 7-2 win. It was pretty out of hand for Virginia. I mean, if it's a little bit closer, like a 3-2 game, I would have put it up there. But even that, with it being low scoring, usually that's not really a baseball game you like to put in your top five.
Yeah, that's fair. Nah, so, yeah, we talked about pretty much almost all the games I had on mine. So USA Canada I took as the only one as my hit. My misses was Michigan State. So we just talked about that. Then we talked about Tennessee, Texas A&M basketball games. I considered those a miss, even though they were fringe. They could have been a hit, just like Iowa State and Houston was on mine. And the only one different that I think that me and you had was I had Kentucky and Bama in my top five, and it just kind of didn't. And it just kind of didn't really end up being a top five for me. So, I'll take the 1-5.
All right. And then what do you think was in your actual top five then out of that one, since I've only got two more to cover myself?
Yeah, so, my one that I hit, I had the USA Canada, and I had basically Canada's player of the game was definitely Jordan Binnington, because he was lights out that entire game. Definitely not what even Canadians were thinking he was going to do. So, yeah, he proved some haters wrong in that game and made some unbelievable stops, especially in overtime for them.
Oh, all right. Nice. Yeah, I like that little stat right there. That's definitely something to walk away with for him. Like, he's been kind of on a schneid a little bit. But I think that nation kind of put a little spark in him.
Yeah. No, and then my actual top five, my other four, I had the Oregon 77 versus Wisconsin 73 that went into overtime. Wisconsin was down by like 20-something points in that game, came back, tied them, went to overtime, and ended up winning. Their big man, Nate Biddle, had like 23 points, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks, and assists. So he went off on them.
Nice.
And that was a big win because Wisconsin was number 11. And then, my other one I had BYU 96-19 Arizona 95, an upset win. Very controversial upset win because they refs gave BYU a foul right at the end to have them shoot free throws to win the game, and no one touched him when he fell. So it was a very controversial win. But Reggie Sanders for BYU had 23 points and was 4-for-5 from 3, so he definitely deserved the player of the game on that one. My other one, so my last two, one was your team or your other team.
Or your other team.
We're going to have to talk about that at some point.
It's in my actual top five. Like I sat there in this game. So, the NC State Notre Dame women's basketball game going to double overtime, NC State winning 104-95. Me sitting there, I'm just like, what is going on? Are they going to actually pull it off? I give my player of the game to that is Zoe Brooks. She goes with 33 points, 10 rebounds, just going off the whole game. I mean, it was her and Isaiah James pretty much like just carrying the load for everybody. And then they had their bigs down in the paint. You had Tilda Trieger, Awu, definitely like just making the plays. And it was just, oh my goodness, like a game to witness for everybody. Yep.
And that was actually my honorable mention. I was talking about your other team.
I mean the Florida Gators, the team that the other basketball team I work for. Yeah, I've got them in my upset.
I haven't been both. I almost didn't put him in my top five until they just came storming back and almost came back to win that game, which was crazy. So it definitely deserved to be in there. And I'll even give it to Florida's Will Richard as my player of the game because he put up 30 points, 5 boards, 3 steals, and made 5 threes. So that was a crazy game. Definitely going to be the upset of the week, but it was up there with my top 5 games. Yeah, and then my final one, I had Detroit Red Wings versus Minnesota Wild when they just beat them 3-2 where they came back from 2-0. Edvinson buried 2 goals, and Detroit starts out on a, what is it, 5-point streak now after the break. So, those topped out my 5.
That was a really good game, too, between Minnesota and Detroit. I watched that game. And, with them coming back from that 2-0 deficit is definitely a good win. Like I said, my top 5 was, I talked a little bit about the NC State, already covered that. And then at my 5, I've got kind of a surprise. I've got baseball because I want to talk a little bit more about college baseball. But this is because Rhode Island beat Oregon 12-11.
Dang, and Oregon's ranked too for the Big Ten.
Yeah. And then Rhode Island, DJ Perron. I don't know which way he says that last name. I'm pretty
much
butchered it already. He gets 4 RBIs.
David Perron.
Yeah, and one of them's a home run. So, yeah.
Yeah, had a hell of a game.
And then my honorable mention is more baseball. Minnesota beating Oregon State 10-4.
That's a big one.
That's a big win for the Big Ten, and not very great for the state of Oregon itself. Out of those two scores alone,
not a good weekend for Michigan baseball either. So
with my upsets of the week, I picked Michigan to upset TCU, but TCU wins 10-4 in that baseball game, unfortunately. And then, obviously, the actual upset of the week is Georgia-Florida, Georgia being Florida 88-83. That was just crazy the way that it started.
Nope.
I was just like, this is how the game's going to go. And, Georgia just kept balling, and Florida had the lead for a couple of seconds. They couldn't hang on, so.
Yeah. That definitely deserved the upset of the week and to be in my top 5. So that game was crazy. I remember turning it on. I was like, oh, man. And Georgia's just beating the brakes out of Florida right now.
Yep, that happens. When you get a rivalry game like that, they kind of go at each other. It doesn't matter the rankings, like you said earlier about the Duke-Carolina game. Like, it just doesn't matter who's rated, who's not. Sometimes the rival who's less favored kind of comes out with the win. So gut reactions, we've lost Kyle. There should be more eyes on college baseball right now, guys. I mean, they're playing all these big games early on in the season to get eyes on them, to get people to watch them, and I'm pretty sure just to get scouted. So to me, I think there should be more publicity going towards college baseball right now. And it's just how I feel right now. I mean, we're watching basketball. We're about to get into the conference tournaments here in the big March Madness. But I think I feel like this really last week and a half of basketball should be turned more towards that baseball before the conference play, because at the end of the day, it's really going to be all eyes on the conference play no matter what. So just take a little break and watch some college baseball.
It is fun to watch.
So,
speaking of baseball, because I'm probably going to go to the NC State game Friday. So,
yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, but go ahead, we were skipping there.
No, you're good. We're both saying the same thing. That's my gut reaction. That's my gut reaction. That's Kyle's gut reaction. All our gut reactions all around. Everybody's got a gut.
Yep, everybody's got reactions. mine was just, hey, we're down to the final week of basketball finally before the big stuff happens.
Yep. So yeah, moving on to some MLB for entertainment. I've asked a couple of questions, two questions really. Who do you think is making it to the postseason, Kyle? I kind of went American League, National League with my listing here. So if you want me to start off with this, I can. So with the American League, I've got I've got the New York Yankees kind of coming back and making a postseason run out of the NL East, as well as the Baltimore Orioles and the Boston Red Sox actually making it in this season after missing out last postseason. Out of the Central, I've got both the Cleveland Guardians and the Detroit Tigers, and then Kansas City Royals from last year miss out. I think, yeah, the three really are going to go more towards the NL East than the NL Central. And then the one auto make to come out of the NL West will be the Seattle Mariners. I believe they've got a lot of key ingredients going now to where they can make that little push that they haven't been able to do. And Houston has lost a lot of their, you know, key core guys that have been getting them there to the postseason. And guess where the coach is now? He's in Detroit. The coach that coached them the whole time, yeah. Every time they made it to the postseason.
Yes, he is.
So yeah,
I like it. I mean, we're pretty similar on our AL East, maybe like a team or two different, and that's about
it. So yeah, that's my American League. And so going into the National League, I've got basically two from each division making it. Starting with the East, I got the Philadelphia Phillies and then the Atlanta Braves kind of making it back. From the Central, I believe it's going to be the St. Louis Cardinals making a run, and then Milwaukee Brewers find their way back into the postseason. And then LA Dodgers, they're pretty stacked again, and they're going to make their way back in. And then the San Diego Padres are pretty stellar team from the NL West as well.
All right. Not bad. You're leaving out the Mets, huh?
Leaving out the Mets.
All right. So, yeah, mine, similar with yours in the American League. I have the Yankees. I have the Orioles. I don't think the Red Sox are going to make it. I just don't think they're ready yet. I don't think they made enough moves this offseason to get them there. So I'm going to take – I pretty much took two out of each division, honestly, because then I took Cleveland and Detroit, just like you did. I took Seattle, and then I did take the Astros. I think they're still got just enough talent to squeeze into a playoff spot. Gotcha. Not necessarily to be dominant, but I could see them squeezing in one. So that's the only difference between our American leagues is you got Boston, I got Astros in there.
Okay.
My Dodgers, my National League teams pretty much have the powerhouses. I got Dodgers, Phillies, Padres, Braves. But I did throw in the Mets. I think they did make some moves pitching and obviously with Soto. I think they can get over that hump. And then I have the Cardinals just like you. I think they rebound this year. A team that I wanted to put in, but I didn't know how I could squeeze them in. I was going to maybe replace them with the Cardinals was the Giants. Every time I feel like we like stop talking about a certain team, they just all of a sudden start winning again. And I feel like that's the Giants again. Yeah. Like Giants haven't been good in the last couple of years. So all of a sudden now watch – they'll just have the best record in baseball with like a nobody roster. So
I mean they got Verlander. The Cardinals,
I think they have a better management right now, and I think they'll make it further.
Yeah, the Giants have Verlander now.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
They did make a few good offseason moves along with getting Verlander, especially to get in their camp. Yeah, so I could definitely see the Giants definitely making that move to the postseason. All right.
Yeah, so, I just stuck with the Cardinals, so we're pretty much the same.
Gotcha. Yeah. So who do you have in the World Series is the next question.
I have in the World Series, I did last year, but I think it will happen now because I think both teams are even better than they were last year. I have Subway Series. I have Yankees and Mets.
Okay.
With the champion going to the Yankees.
Nice. Yeah, so I've got the Yankees as well, but I've got the Philadelphia Phillies making it to the championship since I don't have the Mets in the playoffs at all on my side. So, and then I've got the Yankees winning it all as well.
Yep.
All right. And so with that, we go into our upcoming week. All right, so
coming week,
top five games to watch this week.
We both know what number one's going to be for both of us.
Alabama, Tennessee, or is it the other one?
Oh,
the,
no, come on, Saturday night.
I mean, yeah, obviously the outdoor game, the Detroit Red Wings, Columbus Blue Jackets game. That's happening outside. It's the stadium series happening at weird stadium in Columbus, Ohio.
At the toilet dump.
At the toilet dump. Oh, it'll be fun to watch, but not cool to see.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You wouldn't want to be in that stadium right there. So, but it's going to be, like you said a couple weeks ago, it's going to be weird seeing like red in that stadium when it's a Michigan team.
But, well.
So, yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've got that in top five.
Yeah, that's my number one. I have, Detroit Columbus, I have number one. Number two, I got the Auburn playing Kentucky in Kentucky, so that should be a good game, I think, because it's in Kentucky. I think if they were playing at Auburn, it would be a little bit different.
Well, I'm going to disagree with that. I saw that game too, and honestly, I think Auburn's going to take care of business in Kentucky. Kentucky's been struggling here lately.
I think there's a very high possibility for it.
Yeah, I just don't think Kentucky's going to be able to battle with them like at all. I think it's going to be kind of like how I saw this Florida-Georgia game. They're going to go in there and they're going to dominate the first half, and then they're just going to keep pulling away in the second half, and it won't be close, really. So I don't have that in my top five just for the way I saw that. So
yeah, the only reason I think this game could be a game is because I think Kentucky needs it more than Auburn right now at this point. Auburn's almost secured their spot as the SEC champions for the season. Kentucky really needs this win to like keep their seeding up for the tournament. So I think you could get a good game here in this one. My number three, I had number six, Alabama versus number five, Tennessee. I'm sure that was on yours.
That's that was my number one.
Prime top 10 matchup.
I kicked off mine with that one.
Yep. Yeah. So it should be just good basketball.
Yeah.
And then I've got number four. I've got your boys, your sidekick boys, 12 Texas A&M versus 3 Florida.
Yep.
And then my number five, I've got 11 Wisconsin versus 8 Michigan State.
Okay. So yeah, the only split was that game for Kentucky and.
Yep.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, that should have been only split there.
My speaker went out. My ears went out. I couldn't hear anything. I was like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah. But, so the only split we had, I think, was the Auburn-Kentucky, Wisconsin-Michigan State game.
Yeah. I have the Wisconsin-Michigan State game in my top five. I have that, and I have the Texas A&M Florida game. College Game Day is going to be there for that game. So obviously he's got to be up there in the top five. My only fifth game that I do have different is I'm actually kind of going women's basketball since women's basketball really made it into my actual top five. I feel like if I actually get it, I might
gotta represent. Gotta represent.
I might actually get a 5 out of 5 if this actually holds up to its fifth place. I've got number 10 TCU versus number 17 Baylor. They're both pretty good. Right now, Baylor's usually historically well-known in women's basketball, and to be good at women's basketball, it's just TCU is just the surprise team this season with I can't remember her name. She transferred from LSU. She went to Louisville before she went to LSU. Like, she's been to
Haley Van Lith.
Yes, Van Lith. That's right. Yes. So she's playing for TCU now. There's another girl that's been playing for three or four different schools that she's playing for TCU as well. Like,
Did one of the Cavender twins go there?
They used to, yes. But they both go to Miami now.
She was still there.
Nope.
Both were at Miami, I thought.
They're both at Miami.
And then one left.
Currently. Nope. They're both still
that
playing
makes
there.
Sense. Never mind.
No, she was at TCU and then went to Miami.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So yeah, that's just making it in there for my upcoming week. And then I'm going to start off my predictions with my upset prediction. I've got Kansas over number 10 Texas Tech. Kansas is at home.
I got the same.
Yeah, I feel like they're kind of like what you were talking about with Kentucky. It's like they need this win to stay, you know, relevant with being in the NCAA tournament. Like they really need to have this, like have something to back with.
Yep, everything you just said, that's my top – that's my upset of the week. I mean, like you said, they're playing at Kansas, way more on the line for Kansas. The Kansas is going to have a little chip on their shoulder finally dropping out of the top 25. So I could see them – I could see them not only upsetting them but beating them by double digits in this one.
No. And so that leads into some gut predictions. I've got the Vols over the Tide for the Alabama-Tennessee game, all right? And I'm just going to keep going in order of how I rated these in my five. I've got the Gators over the Aggies because Florida's at home. They need that bounce-back win after losing to Georgia. I've got Sparty over the Badgers. Sparty kind of keeps their winning streak rolling. It's in East Lansing. And then I've got good old Red Wings over the Blue Jackets. We're going to keep having the owner of Ohio be the state of Michigan. Please report to your car, sir.
I like it. Yeah, we pretty much have the same thing. I had Kentucky. I had Tennessee. I had Florida. I had Michigan State. The only kind of difference for the Detroit-Columbus game, I put they split because they also play them Thursday.
Thursday.
Whoever wins Thursday is going to lose. Whoever's going to win Thursday loses Saturday. Whoever, like vice versa. So if the Red Wings lose on Thursday, I think they'll win Saturday. If they win on Thursday, I think they're probably going to lose on Saturday. So that's I don't know. They're just going to split. That's my prediction. They split these two games.
That's a good prediction. I like that. And then I've got the Horned Frogs are beating the Bears. Beating the Baylor Bears. Go Horned Frogs, I guess.
Go TCU.
Yep. And then so we just need the one prediction from you, I guess, if you're agreeing with me on all these others, is the Kentucky.
I thought I said that. I agreed with you on all. Oh yeah, you never said that. I actually am taking Kentucky. I think Kentucky upsets them.
Yeah, because I don't have the Kentucky Auburn game on my side. You do.
I forgot you didn't have that one. Yeah, it could have been my upset of the week, but since they're ranked, I'm not going to give it to them. But I think Kentucky can. I don't think they will, maybe. They can. And since it's at home, I'm going to give them the edge, like we talked about with Kansas. They have more drive on the line. It means more for them, and I just don't think they want to be embarrassed being in Kentucky. So I'm going to take Kentucky to take down the good old Auburn.
Okay. All right. I like that. All right. Moving on to some fantasy focus. I'll let you kick this one off there, Kyle, from there.
Yeah. So just like how we did at the end of the fantasy season where we just picked our superlatives and basically kind of like our awards of the year.
Yeah.
Not as detailed. Not like the pooped your pants award stuff like that. It is the common ones like your MVP. We'll do MVP, offensive rookie of the year, comeback player, and your biggest bust that you think might happen.
So for comeback player of the year though, I have to question: is it comeback player as in they weren't doing well this past season and then they're coming back this next season and having a better season as a whole, or is it where like within the season, granted, we don't wish, you know, injury upon them or any like bad juju.
It's either or.
Where they have a downfall within the season and then they come back later on in the season and have a better season.
No. Comeback players, then you were either, like from the year before, either you just had a bad season or you were hurt.
Okay.
And then
you
come into the next season.
You had
either
a totally better season than
you come in. You come into the expectation that you are not good, or you just came off injured. No one's expecting a lot out of you, and then you go above and beyond.
I got you. Okay. All right. I got my guy now. I just picked two because I didn't know which way this was going. But I can let you know once we get to that point of who my second person was. So you go ahead.
That's fair. But I had two on mine too. So I'll kind of like go into both of them too. So my MVP, we'll just do MVPs first. I saw yours.
Yep.
Interesting choice. I chose his running ball mate. I chose his running mate. I think Jahmyr Gibbs has the opportunity to take the fantasy MVP this year. Granted, he needs a little help with Montgomery getting hurt, but I think Gibbs has a prime opportunity and potential to be like that finish number one overall as the fantasy player of the year.
Yeah, I definitely can see that happening. Mine kind of agrees with you with Jared Goff getting the MVP. Obviously, I think he's going to be a quarterback. Usually quarterbacks are, you know, point heavy with this. And, yeah, I see him throwing it a lot more often. And then, yeah, if Gibbs is our starter and one, he's got an extra target to throw to. So, yeah.
He does.
And that definitely helps you out with Gibbs getting more yards in the passing game and the running game. And so he's going to be that dual threat that every defense is going to have to look out for.
Yeah, that's true. No, I like it. It's good. We got two Lions as MVPs. I guess they're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
All right, let's not get that far. All right, calm down.
Let's not get that far. All right, so not much to get into with offensive rookie of the year, because I have a feeling we both chose the same person. So I might throw a curveball in there. I know you probably chose Genty. I chose Genty.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'll throw in a little curveball. Depending on where it goes, UNC's running back Hampton, he's a beast of a runner, and I think he could surprise people with potentially having that big breakout type of year for him. Yep. If it's not going to be Genty, he's one that I like, depending on where he lands in the draft. Right.
What, like, say three teams that you'd like to see him on, at least, I guess.
Ooh, kind of tough. You kind of want to see him in a good spot, so I could see the Chiefs actually going after another running back, so Chiefs would be pretty cool to see him go there.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind Oakland. Oakland needs a running back. They're kind of rebuilding, so they might want to lean in on one. As long as they can get a decent quarterback, a fill-in quarterback.
Well, Tom Brady hit up Matt Stafford, according to Instagram. I saw a social post. So
I wouldn't mind the Raiders, and then I actually wouldn't even mind. I think the perfect landing spot for him, if they would go that way and kind of boot out Ramondre Stevenson, go to the Patriots.
Okay.
And go play with his ex quarterback Drake May. So
that'd be pretty cool. Yeah. So that's I got Ashton Genty. I think wherever he lands, he's gonna be a baller for a running back, no matter what. I mean. He's gonna probably go, I would say, 3-4 in fantasy football, like, you know, just that round.
Yeah.
I don't see him going like with me, when you get a rookie coming in, I can't grab him first or second round. So
I think he probably will end up going maybe back end one, early two, honestly, because the potential's there.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be interesting. It'll be interesting to see where he's taken.
All right, so comeback player of the year.
Comeback player of the year. I got two, possibly. So I could just be basic, and I'm just going to say Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
Could have a comeback player of the year. He's a little bit older, coming up banged up all the time, but his potential's still there. His talent's still there. He could easily put up 20-point-per-game type season with them as long as he can stay healthy. So that would be like my injury comeback player of the year would be Christian McCaffrey. So a person that played really bad last year that I could see possibly having a comeback of the year is Travis Etienne, because he was my pooped your pants player of the year.
That That's a pretty good pick. Yeah, I would definitely like to see him New. Come back and have a better season. Like yep. he had a pretty good season the year before, and really they
had a great season. Yeah,
they kind of fell off, and it just kept falling and falling in this current season that we just had. Yep.
And they have new coaching staff, and the coach that's just coming in is the Buccaneers offensive coordinator who loves to use the running backs, whether it be passing or running. So I think it all favors in ETN could have a bounce back as long as they use him right, because he has the talent. There's no arguing the talent's there. So I'd like to see him have the comeback player on that one.
Okay. My comeback player of the year, I've got Dak Prescott having a comeback from last year. Yeah, I kind of agree with what you were saying when you were picking him as your top, 10 QB, top 12 QB to come in for next year. I think he's going to, finally have a good season, especially being injured and being on the bench a whole season. He's definitely got something in the bag for him to, something up his sleeve, I guess, if you will. And
yep.
my second guy with, what I was thinking, because I didn't know which way this comeback player was going to go.
Slow start and then got going.
Not really a slow start. I don't think he's going to have a slow start, but there's always that possibility of, what they call the Super Bowl hangover. Jalen Hurts is my other guy. He could start hot.
I can see that.
And I feel like he's going to have a dip off sometime in the middle of the season, because at the end of the day, he is hurt. We're all just going to face the facts here. And I feel like he's going to kind of get a little lackluster. And as long as the tush push is there, he'll be fine. But he can only take it so much.
Yeah.
Your body can only take so much at the end of the day. And I feel like that might
I agree.
A problem behind the injuries.
Yeah, I like it.
So.
No, I can see that. I do like the Dak one. Dak's pretty good, too. I could easily see him having a nice comeback year. So let's get into the biggest bust. Who's going to be the biggest bust this year? So when I talk about biggest bust when it comes to fantasy, it's not necessarily means they had a bad season, right? It just means they potentially did way worse than where their ADP, their average draft position was. So if a guy is picked in the first round, pick number 5, you are expecting 22 points per game, not 14 points per game. He might still put up good numbers, but not for what the value is you got him for. Yep. So with that being said, I already talked about it, I think, a couple weeks ago. My biggest bust is going to be Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I can agree with you there with how high he gets picked as a running back and the kind of season
he's
just
he's going to go number one or two.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
My biggest bust is going to be Patrick Mahomes. I believe he's going to be one of those QBs that always go first, second, or third, just QB-wise, not obviously in the rounds or draft picks, but he's usually in that top three, always one of those three QBs that goes first. I would be afraid to pick him myself, because the way that the Kansas City Chiefs played last season was abysmal. They barely got over 30 points for the first 12 weeks or so. And
it was not good football.
They just were able to
win. Just won. They just won.
It doesn't look any better this next coming season, especially with the question marks around Travis Kelce, if he's going to make it back or not.
It's to the beginning of the downfall for Patty Mahomes.
I know. So that he right now he's my biggest bust for next season. I don't see much development out of him.
That's fair. I like it. Okay. All right. I think that covers our fantasy focus for this week.
All right.
Nice and quick one for us.
Yeah. Always try to be quick with it. Sometimes, not all the time.
Yeah. Not all the time. Gotta last a little bit.
Gambling men. All right. Three-leg parlay. I went 0-3 last week. So.
Dang, I went 3-0, baby.
Let's just start with the don't bet on it. Don't bet on whatever Alex tells you to bet on.
Go with me. I'm hot right now. I'm hot.
Go with Kyle. But honestly, I still have to pick. I still have to pick a three-leg parlay no matter what. So let's just get into it for me and just avoid all these. I've got the Avs money line over the Devils sitting at -142. And then I've got the Pistons money line over the Celtics. They're actually playing right now. I can check in on the score of that game, to be honest.
I was doing on my phone earlier. I'll check.
+150.
I was getting nervous because I had two on mine that I was really nervous about. So, yeah. And I hit already on one of them. But
and the Pistons are up 43-28 right now. It's almost halftime. So.
There you go.
And then so, yeah, I've got Wrexham money line over Bolton. That's sitting at +120. The total is +804. $10 pays out $90. So
that's cheap money, Alex. That's cheap money.
I'm trying to win the money back.
Are you ready?
Trying to get money back.
I was feeling froggy today before I made my picks.
Yeah.
And it was epiphany that hit me. I want to do this one. So I went 3-0 last week. I had Kentucky -5.5 over Vandy. I had Bama +1.5 versus Missouri and Villanova money line against Marquette. Easy money, 3-0. We're going 3-0 again this week. So my first one, Texas A&M -7.5 versus Vandy at home. I think they can handle them pretty. Vandy has not looked good when they're not playing at home. So I think Texas A&M could easily beat them by double digits. So smash that one. My number two, Carolina -1.5 puck line against the Buffalo Sabres tomorrow, I believe. Carolina's coming off of two losses in a row. So I think coming back to Carolina, coming back to Raleigh, they are going to be poor. I think they're going to pour it on Buffalo. They kind of need to. But here's the big money one. Are you ready for it? Tonight's game right now, as it's going on right now, I took Winnipeg Jets versus Ottawa Senators. Okay. The correct score of 4-2.
Oh wow.
4-2 Winnipeg Jets. It is now 2-0 Winnipeg Jets. Looking good.
Looking pretty good right there. Definitely.
My whopping odds is +8,147.
Oh gee. taking a big chunk of money out.
I put a $10 bet to win $850.
Nice.
And I'm just praying. All right, Winnipeg, slow down. Let Ottawa score here. But yeah, that's looking good. So that's my three leg. My honorable mention. I had back to our upsets. I had Kansas. I just said Kansas money line over Texas Tech.
Okay. I'd like that. My honorable mention is actually some MLS. I've got Charlotte FC starting off with a win, going 1-0 against Atlanta United. That's sitting at +115 right now.
I like it.
So, yeah, their season kind of gets started, so got a little, all right, little love to them. My same game parlay, I'm going to parlay on that outdoor game that's apparently in a city called Columbus. There's Michigan flags everywhere. I mean, they're playing it everywhere now. I mean, are we still in the state of Ohio?
But before you do that, Alex, let me do my don't bet on it. My don't bet on it is don't bet on the Detroit Columbus outdoor game.
Well, I want to do this because I feel like so Fantilli.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
So Fantilli has played there already. Like he played for Michigan, played against Ohio State. So I feel like betting on him getting an anytime goal there again. He's going to do it for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then we're going to keep staying on the Michigan train. We're going to take Larkin anytime goal. And then we're going to take the Red Wings money line over the Blue Jackets, which right now is sitting at -115. All right. So, I mean, yeah. All right,
it's not bad. That's pretty good.
Go Blue.
So, are you ready for some random trivia that just came to my head because you just mentioned that Fantilli played in that outdoor game, right? From Michigan, Ohio State.
Yep.
Do you know what day that was? No. In relevance to North Carolina hockey.
Oh no.
It was the Carolina Hurricanes outdoor game.
Oh boy. Yeah.
It was the same day. I was at the Carolina Hurricanes outdoor game. Finished it. Got back into where we were tailgating and watched the Michigan Ohio State game outside to finish that game in the tailgating spot. It was pretty fun.
Nice.
Yep. So, no, my same game parlay is going on right now, and it is the Winnipeg Jets. I doubled down on them on this one. So,
oh, wow.
Yep. Last week, if you remember, my same game parlay was literally going on and finishing as we were talking. I had the Kentucky minus 5.5, Kentucky 83.5 under, and Kobe Brady get A-plus points. So I hit that, all three of those. So this one, I am missing one right now. I took Scheffele, one goal. He didn't get one of the two already, so I don't know if he's going to get it. I took Jets minus 1.5. They're up 2 right now. And then I had Jets to get the first goal, which they did. So right now I'm hitting 2 out of the 3. I just need Scheffele to get a goal here, maybe get an empty netter or at least the next one. And that gives me a plus 425 on that bad boy.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's going to be an interesting bet for sure. So let's just keep rolling into the three player props of the week. What you got for your player props of the week, Kyle?
So last week I went 2-for-1 and 12. I was 21-11 overall. I actually started hot on player props. This week I did okay. I did I had RJ Davis 15 plus points when UNC was playing NC State. He ended up with like 21. So I hit that one. I had McDavid goal score against USA Canada. And I obviously hit that one because he had the game winner. And then I also had Jack Hughes to score a goal in that game. So I missed that one. So I went 2-for-1. This week, I have for tomorrow's game, Sebastian Aho for the Carolina Hurricanes is going to get at least 1+ point. Tonight for Auburn, I got Johnny Brohm going to get a double-double. So I'm not going to put an exact number. He's just going to hit the double-double mark. And then I think it's tomorrow also, I want to say. The Arkansas game, Ado Thiro is going to have a 15-plus point game in that one. So yeah. Ado Thiro, 15-plus points. Sebastian Aho, 1 point for Carolina Hurricanes. And Auburn's Johnny Brohm to hit a double-double.
I got you there. I like that. I really like that. So I've got my three player props, kind of diving in a little bit with my three leg parlay and my honorable mention here. I like a Nikos anytime goal for the Avs, especially there at home against the Devils. And Nikos has been playing really well since he's been traded to the Avs. And Rantanen
he's a stud.
Not been producing with the Canes. So I don't know if the Canes actually won this trade. It's kind of been
Time will tell here. Will tell.
And then my next player prop, I've got Jalen Duren of the Pistons. When playing today, could get a double-double sitting at negative 120. I probably got to check in on that here in a minute. And then I've got Wilfred Zaha of the Charlotte FC anytime goal plus 270.
Yeah, I like it.
So
it's not too bad. Well, hey, so you already heard my don't bet on it because you obviously listened to it.
Yeah.
What's your don't bet on it?
I'm not betting on the Bama-Tennessee game or any spring training MLB.
Oof. So that's it. Please, that might as well just be my number two. Don't for the love of God bet on spring training games.
Yeah, don't do it. Just like don't.
Jesus Christ, don't like, do it.
Like what? Why are they?
Is that even an option to bet on the spring training games?
You can. You can go into DraftKings and bet on the spring training games if you want to. Yeah, you can bet on the outcome, the over-under. You can bet, on some of the players that are playing in the game. But you can't bet on any of the players until like an hour out or hour and a half out whenever they actually make the lineup, announcements. Because you never know who's going to play in the spring training game until that time, literally.
I mean, for the love of God, like if you're going to bet on a game, please do not bet on the player props because they're going to have like one at bat.
Yeah. So yeah, just don't bet on that. And Kyle agrees.
Yeah, I absolutely do not bet on. Don't even think about touching that.
All right. So, Homeward Bounds. We go. All right. So, I've got nothing for the NFL. You got anything there?
No, there's not much has gone on in the NFL. We're kind of like in that little like a lull period here where there's not much news. You might see some more trade activity when we get closer to draft time and draft day. So not really much in the NFL news cycle.
And then for some college ball, if you will, I've got, Wolverines baseball did not fare well in Arlington, going 0-3, as well as the Pac-9. They didn't have a very good weekend in Jacksonville, also going 0-3 in these tournaments. Not very favorable for those two teams. But Deacons baseball, they're off to a very strong start. Only loss coming to
they have a good team.
UNCG though, like you have one loss and you lost to UNC Greensboro.
Head scratch. head scratch on that one.
Yeah.
No, that's not much. I mean, like when we talk about, I mean, Wake Forest has always been a good baseball team, and they've definitely come along here the last couple of years or so. So, yeah, I'd like to see them just go all out and make it to the finals, get to Omaha, have some fun.
No, I
don't really have much other than, yeah, NC State, same. I mean, they had a couple of good wins this past week, or one good win, I guess. But now that's time for a new coach, time to restart for them. NC State baseball looks good. Yeah. I think they're like – NC State baseball looks really good. They were really good last year. I could see them repeating getting to Omaha. So, and then getting to the Wolverines, getting to some basketball here. We're getting to the home stretch.
Yep.
Tied at first with State. We still got – what do we got? Who we got? We got Rutgers next, and then Illinois, then Maryland, then Michigan State. Kind of a gauntlet of a schedule, but at least the next three are at home.
Yeah.
And I think it might be coming down to that final game in East Lansing.
Hopefully they can split the series the wrong way, I guess.
Yeah. We just went on the roads.
All right. And then Tigers start in the spring training with some high hopes. They get off to a pretty good start, starting 2-0, and then they kind of drop two. Yankees are finding some talent at least, some young talent come in here these last two games and kind of get it done for them to get them a win streak going. They started 0-2, unfortunately. Now both teams are sitting at 2-2 right now in spring training.
Yeah, so. I never look at standings in spring training. It literally means nothing.
Well, it's here, so we got to talk about it.
We could talk about it, but I don't really consider win losses in spring training. It's more of how do those prospects look, and Yankees prospects actually look pretty good.
Yeah,
their big lefty left fielder that's basically a left-handed version of Aaron Jones is coming up for them, and he is going to be a superstar. You got him, and they have a couple young pitchers that are looking good. So yeah, I think Yankees will be good. Like we said, we both had them in the finals for this year. So hopefully Tigers can make it in there, but. Yeah, I think Tigers can at least get to where they were last year because they made some good key additions. They brought back Skubal. I mean, they got Glaber from the Yankees. They made some good moves, good money moves where it wasn't a break the bank for them. So, like, if it doesn't work out, oh, big deal, they're gone next year.
Yeah.
They made smart moves.
And that's usually how they do. They try to make those smart moves, trying to make it last for a good year, and then reload and restructure for the next year. Yeah, and then speaking of Detroit, got some Detroit Red Wings need to get back on that winning streak, but they're having a good point streak going. I just think they need to turn it into a winning streak myself. Like
they got a two game one.
Yeah, they keep the point streak going and they turn it into a winning streak to where it goes from to a seven game or whatever game win streak. Yep, I think it would be a positive for them.
Yeah, I agree. If you're going to lose, at least lose in overtime. Get a point. I mean, I wish they didn't have lost to Minnesota the first game because, I mean, honestly, I can't be mad because we did to Minnesota what Minnesota did to us the first game where we were up by two goals going into the third period or near the end of the second period and when they came back. Or we were up by three goals or something like that. And they came back, tied us, and then beat us in overtime. Minnesota was up by two goals against the Red Wings, and they came back and scored, and then at least didn't go to overtime and just took the full 2 points. But, yeah, I think they got to keep it strong. These next two games, not only are they – it's cool because it's the outdoor game. Columbus is directly behind them, so these two games are huge for standings.
Yeah, I definitely get Detroit, that.
Yeah, Detroit's currently sitting as the number one wild card spot, and number two wild card spot is Columbus, only like 4 points behind them. So these two games are huge. Yeah. I'd like to see them sweep them. But, yeah, I'll take an overtime loss either way.
I hear that. I definitely totally agree with you there. And the Canes, they're kind of looking a little lackluster here coming out of the break. Taking two losses. I don't know if one of them came in overtime or not, but they lost to the Leafs and they lost to the Montreal Canadiens.
Yep. Yeah, they got smacked by, I think, Toronto. They got smacked by them. It was like 5-1 or something like that.
Yeah.
It might have been the Canadiens game. The Canadiens, I know they got smacked by one of them. Pretty
Toronto,
bad.
Toronto beat them 6-3. Canadiens beat them 4-0.
Yeah, so they just basically been getting whooped these last two games. And that's why I said on my -1.5, I think the Hurricanes are going to come out tomorrow and kind of beat the brakes out of Buffalo.
Yeah.
I think they kind of need that kind of game to get their mojo back going.
Need to turn it around for sure. And then Pistons doing the complete opposite, coming out hot from the break. They're in sixth place right now, 32-26, seven-game win streak for the Pistons. I mean, come on. Like,
they're rolling.
They're rolling. They're playing the Celtics right now. They're beating the Celtics. They're about to be at halftime now. I just checked the score. I can check it again. They're still in the lead, as I was saying. Let's see here. Yeah. Oh, tied up again. Ooh, 55-55. See, when you say something, sometimes things happen. And then the
I got
debut.
Vanderbilt's winning at half.
Oh, no.
There goes my bet.
There goes Kyle's bet. It is good. And making the debut in our homeward bound wrap up, we've got Wrexham. As I mentioned earlier, Ronald McDonald, his actual actor's name is Rob McElhenney, along with Ryan Reynolds. I'm a big fan of this team just because of the FX series as well. They put it really well together. And just watching them go from league to league to league, and they're on a third consecutive, they're pushing for it right now. They're pushing for the third consecutive promotion right now. They're in third place. They get themselves into second place. So they're placed by points like hockey, right? They're sitting at 18-7-7 right now with 61 points. They're 4 points out from that second spot, which is an auto promotion. You get an auto promotion, but you still got to keep playing the season. You have to end the season like right there at that second, spot. And then they're 12 points back from being first. So they're not that far out from really the second or first spot right now. They just got get some wins together, and if they become that third team in that tournament, they just got to win the tournament to get that promotion. So they're kind of sitting in a pretty good spot to either have to play the tournament, play the play-in game to get themselves promoted for a third time, or just win out the rest of this season that they've got and try and get in that second or first position.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see it. Hopefully they can pull it off.
Yeah, I think a lot of us do. And so with that wraps up this episode of This and That Podcasting Podcast. Next week, we'll look back on how we did with our pick top five games and of the week and compare it to the actual top five games, especially with me going 3-for-5 and then Kyle going only 1-for-5, unfortunately. We're not perfect, but the game's faults themselves. It's all in the games.
It really is. Yeah, and then for Fantasy Focus next week, I think we'll talk about some trade fantasy destinations and draft destinations. So we'll have four guys in the actual NFL right now, four guys that are in the draft, and where we would like to see them go.
Okay. All right. And then we'll tune in to see if we made more money or not. I hope I've made some money. Kyle seems to have been on the good luck side. I'm Alex Fowler.
Yeah, I hope. I'm Kyle Dobus.
Y'all have a good rest of your day. Make sure you like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Come on. All right.
What the be?
Gosh, we were lagging the whole time. That was tough.
Come on, Winnipeg, you can do this.